Good morning. Thank you very much for joining. And today's daf is Maseches Yoma, daf Samach Vav. We're learning all about the goats, the two goats, the big service of Yom Kippur. One goat is the goat LaHashem. It's slaughtered. Its blood is sprinkled in Kodesh HaKadashim, sprinkled in front of Parochah, placed on the golden altar. The other goat is the Seir La'Azazel, the goat to the wilderness. So we learned yesterday that Rabbi Yehuda has a novel idea in regards to Machzis HaShekel. Rabbi Yehuda says that if a town donated shekels, and they sent the shekels with an emissary to bring it up to Yerushalayim, let's say the town of Shiloh, every man put a shekel into the box, and the box was taken up to Yerushalayim with shlichim, with emissaries. And unfortunately, bandits came and attacked the emissaries and stole the shekels. If the town is informed of this, and it's before the gizbar has been able to do the trumas halishka, it's before the shekels have been taken out to start using them, so now the town has not fulfilled their obligation, the residents of the town, they need to send new shekels. So now they're going to end up having given this year two shekels, one that was stolen and one that they ended up sending. What happens if those shekels are then found later? So now both are holy. Both are holy. And according to the Chachamim, that's it. Next year they have to start again. The fact that they gave this year too doesn't help them. However, Rabbi Yehuda said they could fulfill their obligation of next year with this year. So the shekels that they gave this year can count for next year. And since they gave two this year, next year they won't have to give. The Gemara says, if according to Yehuda, you can fulfill next year's obligation with this year's stuff, why do we have a brisa where if the bull of Yom Kippur, the bull of the Kohen Gadol, or the goat of the nation, the Seir LaHashem, goes missing and is then found, so the brisa says, you have to starve these items to death. Why do you have to starve them to death? Why don't you just use them for next year? You can fulfill this year's obligation with next year. So the Gemara tries to give answers. Let's start here. Samach Hamid Beis, about seven lines up from the bottom. Ella, rather, Gzeira, the reason why you, Rabbi Yehuda, who holds you can normally fulfill next year's obligation with this year's stuff, he still holds that you have to starve the goat and the bull of Yom Kippur that were missing and something else was brought in their place. Why doesn't he say you can use it for next year? Because there's a gzeira, there's a decree. If you use it for next year, then the goat LaHashem, the Seir LaHashem, the Karban Chatas, might end up passing its year. It might end up being too old, and once it's too old, you're not supposed to offer it. All Karbanos Chatas are to be offered within their first year. So if you wait for next year, it might be over a year old by then. So the Gemara says, I don't understand. Gzeira, it's a decree. Maybe it'll be too old. If I'm waiting for next year, obviously it's more than a year old. It's already another year later. So the Gemara says, no, Kash, that's not a question. Rebbe Yehuda holds like Rebbe. The Tanya Linden Abraisa. Rebbe says in regards to the right of a seller, somebody sells a house in a walled city, he has a right to purchase the house back within the year. Within the year, if he wants it back, he pays for it, he gets it back. What's the definition of a year? Is a year 365 days, the solar system year? Or is a year 12 lunar months? So we learned, the Torah says a full year. So according to Rabbi Mona, he counts, he counts 365 days, like the days that are there in a year of the sun. Divrei Rebbe, that's the view of Rebbe. Chacham say no. Monash neimaser chodesh miyom liyom. He counts 12 months from day to day. In other words, if he sold it on the 10th of Nisan, 12 months later on the 10th of Nisan, that's the end of his buyback period. Imnis abrad, if the year got an added month, if the sages added another month and two adars, nisabra lamocha, then there was an addition that helps the seller. So you see that according to Rebbe, the definition of a year is 365 days. As Rashi points out, if the goat that they purchased for the Seir LaHashem, they purchased it on the eighth day of its life, on Erev Yom Kippur. Then on Yom Kippur it went missing. So now we could still use it next year on Yom Kippur, because next year on Yom Kippur it won't be 365 days old, it'll be 364 days old. So it's still Toch Shnas, it'll still be within its year. And then I would say that's why there's a decree. Maybe sometimes you'd have purchased a goat that wasn't 8 days old, you'd have purchased a goat that was 12 days old or 13 days old, and already would be past the year. So if we'd allow them to use this goat next year, before we know it, they're going to be using goats that passed their year. So as the Gemara, okay, Otein Achsaris, I understand the decree. Why, even according to Yehuda, the goat and the bull that went missing, they're going to use them next year. But we can't use them next year. We have to starve them to death because we're worried if we use them next year, then maybe people would start using chatos after their year. Hatein achsari, that's fine about the goat because the goat has to be within the year. But par, but the sin offering of the bull, it's 3 years old. To be a par, it has to be 3 years old. So Michael, what are you going to say there? What's the problem? And so the Gemara, gzeira para tusar. There's another decree of bull because of goat. That if we would allow bull, then we would have a people might also do the goat, and then the goat would lead to people doing a goat after its year. Umishum gzeira yamos, because of these fears, because of the decree, this might lead to that. For that reason, we put it to death. Let it go pasture. Oh, and furthermore, chatashavra shnasa, even if that the worst case scenario were to happen, you have an animal that was dedicated as a chatas, before it was a year old, now it's past a year old. If it's past a year old, the re'iya azla, the halach is that the animal goes out to pasture, and it gets a blemish. It's not supposed to be put to death. We're not supposed to starve it. Tamar Shlakish, as Shlakish taught us, chatashavra shnasa, if you have a regular chatas, and now it's past a year old. Now we view it as if it's in a cemetery, as if a Kohen can't get to it. So he can't get to it. Let it just pasture and get a blemish. All right, so we're back to the question. The question is, Rabbi Yehuda holds in Shkalim that if you end up with having given two Shkalims this year, one of the shekels of this year can count for next year's obligation. Rabbi Yehuda holds that your actions of this year's stuff can work for next year's obligations. So then why does Rabbi Yehuda say that if we lost the bull and the goat of Yom Kippur the next year, we can't use them? Why don't we say we can use them? This year's obligation can go for next year's, this year's stuff can go for next year's obligation. We suggested all sorts of gzeros, but the bottom line question was, based on gzera decree, that for that reason we starve it to death. It shouldn't starve it to death. Let it just pasture. Ella, so finally the answer is, Amar Rava, Rava explained. The reason why Rabbi Yehuda holds that if the goat and the bull of Yom Kippur go missing and then you find them, you have to starve them to death, you don't wait till next year to use them. Gzera mishum takala, we're worried that if you wait till next year, you might have all sorts of problems, all sorts of bad things happening. Stumbling block, you know, if you have something sitting around which is holy for a whole year, bad stuff can happen. We'll see in the Gemara what it is exactly, but, you know, you could think just right away, you have hektish sitting around, and people might use the hektish, and there'd be violations of me'ilah. We don't want that to happen. Titania, as we learned in a brisa, ein makdishin. Nowadays, we do not make things into hektish. Ein marichin. We don't make things, we don't promise the erich vows of certain values to hektish. Ein machrimin. We don't make haramin. We don't dedicate things with the cherim terminology bizman hazeh nowadays because of takala, because things can go wrong. V'him hektish v'erich. And if somebody was foolish and he made something hektish, or he made something mu'arach, or hichrim, or he dedicated something with a cherim. So if it's a behemoth, if it's an animal that he made hektish, te'aker, it should be uprooted. Peros, if it's fruits that he made hektish, ksus, clothing, kalim, utensils, yirkavu, let them rot. Ma'os, money, klimatchos, or metal utensils, yolichana, yamamelach, throw it into the Dead Sea and let it corrode. Bezo, ikor, what does it mean to uproot the animal? No adelos lefanev, you lock it into a door, you lock a door in front of it, and you let it die of starvation. So you see that when you have, nowadays, when we don't have a Beis HaMikdash, animals that are holy or objects that are holy, so we can't use it, we don't have a Beis HaMikdash, we don't leave them around. You want to get them destroyed so that no one gets a problem with them. So the same thing, that's why if we lost the goat and the bull of Yom Kippur, we're not going to use it for next year because
if we have him sitting around, we might have a takala. Takala demai. What exactly are we worried about? Which type of stumbling block? It's a takala da krava. If we have the parents sorry around, we're worried that it might be offered. So people might panic and actually offer it before Yom Kippur. It's before the next Yom Kippur, and it's a Yom Kippur karban. Afilu koryos nami. So then all the times that the sages say, let the animal go pasture, wait till it gets a blemish, let's worry that maybe people are going to panic and they're going to offer them. It's a kala de giz of avoda. If that's not the concern, the concern is that if we have the goat and the bull waiting till next Yom Kippur, then these animals are going to be growing wool, and people might be shearing the wool, and then they might have too much of a temptation. They might start using the wool. And if you look at Rios Nami, then that should also be the same fear. That fear should exist with all the animals that we say they have to go out to pasture. Answers the Gemara Lolam Takol Da'akrav. We're really talking about the obstacle of possibly offering it. Animals that are supposed to go to pasture. These are animals that everybody knows are not supposed to be offered. There's no worry. Lo tarbu. No one's thinking to go offer them. So therefore, not worried that they'll be offered. But this animal, the bull or the goat of Yom Kippur that got lost, and now we found it. Bas HaKravi. We're waiting to offer it next Yom Kippur. So tarbu. So it's considered an animal to be offered. People get stressed. They have to offer it. Then they might panic and actually offer it before the next Yom Kippur. And that's why even Rabbi Yehuda, who holds you could fulfill next year's obligation with this year's stuff, he holds here with the goat and the bull of Yom Kippur that went missing, they're not. Ask the Gemara, "Vatakala atma tanoi." Maybe this idea that we don't want things sitting around because they might be an obstacle, they might become an obstacle, that's a machlokas tanoi. Not everybody agrees to that. The Tanya Chadu went to one brisa. Pesach shlo karban barishon. If you have an animal that was dedicated as a carbon Pesach and you didn't bring it on Erev Pesach, okay, you karban b'sheni, bring it on Adar Sheni as, I'm sorry, an ER, bringing an ER as a Pesach Sheni. If you had an animal dedicated for Pesach Sheni, b'sheni, you didn't bring it b'sheni, you could l'shan abba, bring it next year. Right, I'm sorry, maybe this animal. If you didn't bring this animal on Pesach Sheni, now bring it next year as a carbon Pesach. But Tanya, you did another Brisa Lo Yekrav. If you didn't bring it on Pesach Sheni, don't bring it next year. We're on Samach Vav Amud Aleph. So it said, don't bring it next year. So my lab, it's a kalapli. This is the argument. One opinion that says, if you didn't bring it now, bring it next month. If you don't bring it next month, bring it in next year. It's not worried about Takali. It's not worried about Karbana sitting around and possibly being used. Or sitting around and possibly being offered too early. And the one who says don't bring it for next year, he is worried about things sitting around because then they might be offered too early. Says the Gemara, no, the Kuliyam, everybody agrees. Lo, Chashinu L'Takala, we're not worried about having a carbon sitting around and people offering it too early. They're not going to do that. But the question between these two brises is a different argument. Look to the Rebbe, Rabbanan Kamiflagi. It's the argument between Rebbe and the Rabbanan. What is the definition of a year? Is a year a 365 days? Or is a year 12 months? If you hold that a year is 12 months, so then you have a problem. Because by the time you get to next Pesach, this sheep is going to be over a year old. Because it had to have been it had to have been 8 days old already on this Erev Pesach. But if you hold like Rebbe, then it's okay. Lo kasha, Rebbe, ha Rabbanan. One's Rebbe, one's the Rabbanan. So the Gemara, they can't say that. But because we live in a Brisa. The same two brisos that argue about what you do with an animal that you didn't offer on Erev Pesach. They argue about money. Let's say you put aside money to buy an animal, to use that animal for Pesach. So, and then you didn't end up using it. So according to one brisa, so then use those monies for Pesach Sheni. If you can't use it for Pesach Sheni, use it next year on Pesach. The other brisa says no. If you don't use it for next year on Pesach. So if you're talking about money, with money you don't have the problem of, it outgrew its term, and now it's past a year old. The whole idea of a year old is only about the sheep. It's not about money. So clearly the argument here is not between the question of Rebbe and the Rabban and whether it's possible to still be within the year or not. If somebody says don't have money sitting around, it's because if money is sitting around, people might use it, they might violate Hekdesh, Shmamina, you see that that is, in fact, a machlokas tanaim, this question of takala. Okay, now we get to the Sayyar la'azazel. Please, yes.
Sometimes we say Kodek, sometimes we say Mistaer, and sometimes we say Tamud. There is any Shitat Limud that I can remember when is Mistaer and when it's Tamud. Or that's Shi'ud B'fnei Atzmo. So I don't want to.
I mean, that's all these arguments, right? All these situations. But, there's halacha Moshe Mi-Sinai that certain chataos, tamus, and then chatasatzi widow maybe is different, doesn't have the halacha Moshe Mi-Sinai, so maybe there, Yerachi Yistaev, so Yudah disagrees, the halacha Moshe Mi-Sinai according to him applies to the chatasatzi widow also. There are a bunch of rules.
It's not
a bunch of rules, right.
I'm sorry.
Do we learn the year of mourning, definition of year of mourning in this Gemara?
No. Next Mishnah, Balo Eitzel Sar Mishtaleach. The Kohen Gadol then goes to the goat that's going to be go to the wilderness. Right after he sprinkles the blood of the goat and the blood of the bull. I'm sorry, the blood of the bull and the blood of the goat. He sprinkles those bloods in Kodesh HaKadoshim in front of the parochas, and he puts them on the golden altar. And then he takes that mixture of the two of them and pours out the rest on the outer altar. So now he goes to the Sar Mishtaleach, which is next to Shar Nikanor. The Somech Shtei Yodav Alav, and he leans both hands on it. Umisvad, then he makes a confession out loud. Bekach haya omer, and this is what the Kohen Gadol would say: Ana Hashem, please God, this God, please let me in, please listen to me. Hashem, the name, he says the name Yudke Vavke. He expresses the Shem Mefurash. Chatu Avu Pashu Lefanecha Am Chabes Yisrael, your nation, the Jewish people, the household of Israel, have committed sins, Chet Avon and Pesha. As we learned before, chet is shogeg, avon is deliberate, pesha is rebellious. Ana Hashem, please God, kaperna, tone, please, lachatayim levonus lepshayim, for the chatayim avonus imshayim. Shechatu v'shav v'shapashu l'vanecham chabes Yisrael, that they sinned and that they did wrong and they committed crimes in front of you, your new Jewish nation. Kakasu b'saras Moshe avdech, as is written in the Torah of Moshe, your servant. From this day, he will atone upon for you. To purify you from all of your sins. Before God, become pure. He mentions God's name twice here. He said, An Hashem, and he quotes the pasuk, Lifnei Hashem titaru. And all the priests and all the people, Omdim Ba'azara, were standing in the courtyard. When they would hear the ineffable name expressed by the holy Kohen Gadol, Hayukorin, they would kneel, Umishtachavim, and they would bow down, Venofim Apneim, and prostrate themselves on their faces, Vomim, and they would declare, Baruch Shem, Kivod Malchuso, Olam Vaed. Misaro Lami Shahayam Alicho. Then he would hand the goat to the Ishiti, to the person who takes it out into the wilderness to drop it off a cliff. Hakol Kshem Lo Licho. Now, you don't need a Kohen to do that. Anybody can take it out to the cliff. Elashasa Kohanim Gedolim Keva. But the Kohanim Gedolim, or some take out the word Gedolim, the Kohanim made, the resident of the Kohanim, they made a rule. The Kohanim should do it. The Kohanim wanted to do it. They would be the ones to lead the goat to the wilderness. Now, in do that, and Velo Yumanichnes Yisrael Lo Licho, they didn't let regular Yisraelim to bring it out to the wilderness. I'm Rabbi Yossi said, Maisa, but I had a story. Halicho Arsala. I saw that this guy Arsala actually led the goat to the wilderness. By the way, Yisrael Haya, he was a Yisrael, so it wasn't so that always Kohanim did it. Another thing about the goat to the wilderness, the Kevesh, they used to make a big ramp to go out of that ramp from the Azara to outside of the city, so that nobody could, so big bridge, that nobody could actually reach the Ishiti. The Kevesh Asalom, Ipnei Bavliim. They did this because of the Babylonians. The Babylonians were very superstitious, and they viewed the Sayyar la'azazel as carrying sins on it. So when they'd see the Sayyar la'azazel being taken out of the Beis HaMikdash, Shayim Mitlalshin Besaro, they used to be plucking from his hair, they used to be pulling his hair, they used to attack this goat. And they would say, Tov would say, quickly. Exit, quickly exit. Get out. You know, you're the sins, Get the sins away. It'd be the scrum. So that was not right, not respectful. And therefore, they made a ramp so that nobody can actually reach the goat.
Do we know where that cliff is today?
I think they say it's where the Herodian palace is.
Rabbi, is the reason for the statement Rosh Hashanah Kol Matzah Olam, is that supposed to in reference to what Yaakov Avinu responded to?
I think it's because they heard the name, the Yudkei Vavkei, Shem Meforash. That's what they would say. Bart, well, that's the name. What a name. That name should be honored. But I guess I'll Pidrush. Maybe it's a reference to Yaakov Avinu with his Shvatim. All right, says the Gemara, the Kohen Gadol, we learned in the Mishnah, confesses for the sins of Amcha Beis Yisrael, your nation, the household of Israel. But to also mention, and the sins of the children of Aaron, your holy people, that's not mentioned explicitly. So, man Tana, who's the Tana of this Mishnah? Who does this Mishnah follow? Amr Rabbi Yirmi Delok Rabbi Yehuda, it's not like Rabbi Yehuda. Dei Rabbi Yehuda, because according to Rabbi Yehuda, Amr, he says, Yesh Lem Kapar B'Sar Mishtaleach. The Kohanim also gain atonement through the Sar Mishtaleach. If they are gaining atonement through the goat to the wilderness, they should be mentioned in the confession on the goat of the wilderness. Abai Amr said no. Abai said no. I feel the same Rabbi Yehuda. Can we read it too? To Kohanim, Lav B'chal Amcha Yisrael, Ninu, the Kohanim are also included in your nation Israel. So therefore, they don't have to be mentioned explicitly. Masr L'mishim Alichal, then he would hand them over to the Ishiti. Taner Abanam and Linden Abraisa, interpreting that pasuk. It says Ish Iti, Ish. It says a man. Lahashir Sazar, that's to include a non-Kohen. Iti, now turning to Samach Lavam Abayz. It says Iti, the man of the times. What do you mean, the man of the times? Shehe Mezuman, that means he has to be prepared for this time. He has to prepare himself the day before. Iti, Afilu B'Shabbos, the times, even on Shabbos. Iti, the times, Afilu B'Tumah, even in a state of Tumah, I still would take the goat out. What does that mean? Of course, it says a man to include and to make kosher a non-Kohen. Why not? This is not something happening in the Beis HaMikdash. This is taking a goat out into the wilderness. Of course, a non-Kohen to do that. So the Gemara, no, it's not so, of course. Ma'adatim, what we're taught to say, Kaparak Sivbe, the verse says about the Sar Mishtalech, it creates atonement. Vasa Yerasher Allah, Allah, Agor Allah, Azazel, Yomad Chai, Lefnei Hashem, Lechaper Allah, Leshalach, Oso, Lazazel, Midbara. It says it's a kapara. So if it's a kapara, it creates atonement. So maybe it's like a service, and only a Kohen can do it. Only Kohen can do kaparos generally. Come Ashram, that's why I have to have a pasuk ish to say even a non-Kohen can do it. Then the Brisa said we learned from the word iti and of the times of Afilu B'Shabbos. Lamai Hilchasa, in regards to what? Where do you have violating Shabbos and taking the Sar Mishtaleach? In terms of walking too far, walking out of the tzchum, that's only drabanan. Rav Sheshes said, Lomar. To say you do it even if Yom Kippur is on Shabbos, Shema Yechola. Let's say the goat Lazazel suddenly drops ill, becomes sick. Our kibbutz seifo, the ishiti can carry it. So, if Yom Kippur is during the week, I don't need a pasuk because this Gemara holds that on Yom Kippur it's like a Yom Tov. You can carry generally on Yom Tov. But if Yom Kippur is on Shabbos, have a pasuk ishiti. Do it at all times, even on Shabbos. Asks the Gemara, come on, if I need a pasuk to say that he would carry it on Shabbos, lo Rabbi Nassan, that's not like Rabbi Nassan, because according to Rabbi Nassan, it's not even a sin to carry an animal on Shabbos. The Rabbi Nassan, because Rabbi Nassan says, Amar, he says, Chai Noseas Atzmo, that a living creature is carrying itself up, it's lightening itself, and when you carry a living creature from a private domain to a public domain, you're not doing a sin. So I need a pasuk to tell me I'm allowed to do this. Says the Gemara, no. If you tame or Rabbi Nassan, no. Rabbi Nassan would agree that I do need a pasuk that the ish iti can carry the sar mishtaleach on Shabbos. Sar mishtaleach is never a sin of carrying. It's never hotzah. It's chai nosi etzatzmo. It's a living creature who's lifting himself up. Chala shiny. It's different. He's sick. If he's sick, he's not lifting himself up. So when he's sick, it would be a malacha to carry him. That's why I need a pasuk to say that you're allowed to do it on Yom Kippur on Shabbos. I'm a Rafim. Rafim said so. So Maris is what I mentioned. This Brisa is telling you, Erev Otzal the Shabbos and Erev Otzal Yom Kippurim. And only on Shabbos do you have a law of not carrying things out of a house to a public domain. And if you have many houses opening to a court, you need to do it in Erev Chatzeros. But that's only about Shabbos. It's not about Yom Kippur. And Yom Kippur you're allowed to carry. That's what the pasuk is only to tell me about Shabbos. Anyway, we don't pass in this way. We pass that even Yom Kippur has the law of Eruv HaHotzah that you're not allowed to carry on Yom Kippur. Iti. The third lesson that we have in this braisa, it says, Ish iti, a man of the times, afilu b'tumah, even in a state of tumah, he's going to do the service. So what's the case for that? Where do we have tumah with sending the goat out of the Beis HaMikdash? Amar Rav Sheshet, Rav Sheshet said, Lomar, it's to say the following, Yim nitman mishalcho. Let's say the Ish iti became tumah, nichnas tumah la'azara. He will enter back into the azara, even when he's tumah, because he was the one who was prepared, he's the one who has to do it, u'mishalcho, and he takes the goat out into the wilderness. Okay, that completes the halacha section. Now we have some agadita. Shalu Rabbi Lazar, a story. They once asked Rabbi Lazar, Chala, this situation, if the goat gets sick, Mao Sher Kibeo Ksefo, can he put the goat on his shoulders and carry it out? So Rabbi Lazar didn't give an answer. He said to them, Yachalu Lahar Kivani Vatan, this goat can carry me and you on it. It's not getting sick. Another question they asked Rabbi Lazar. Let's say the Ishiti got sick. He can't walk. Can somebody else step in, even though that person wasn't prepared from yesterday? He said to them, hey, B'shalom Aniva Atem. Why are you asking? Me and you don't have this issue. You know, none of us have to send out the goat. We're in a state of peace. We should just stay in peace. They asked Rabbi Lezer a third question. Tchafo, they pushed the goat off of the cliff. But he didn't die. Does the Yeshiti have to walk down and put it to death? Amalam, he said to them, may all of the enemies of Hashem be destroyed like this. He didn't give them any answer. The Gemara is going to explain that Rabbi Lazar, he didn't want to say anything he didn't hear from his teachers.
Nothing negative.
No, he didn't want to say what he didn't hear from his teachers. He would only say over what he had heard from his teachers. He didn't hear from his teachers on these questions. He didn't want to give an answer. The Chacham Omer, now the sages actually do have opinions on these things. They say, Chalam Arkivol Ksefo. If the goat gets sick, then you can put him on your shoulders. Yeshiti can carry him on his shoulders. They say, Chalam Ashalcho. If the Yeshiti got sick, you should send the goat with somebody else. And they say, Tzchafo Velomes. If the goat was pushed off of a cliff but he didn't die, Yerud Achra V'yamisenu. The Yeshiti should follow him down and put him to death. All right, and similar practice for Blazer in regards to other halachic questions, where again, he didn't want to give answers because he hadn't heard from his teachers on these precise questions. Shalu Asr Blazer, they once asked Blazer, Ploni Ma'al Olam Abba. So-and-so, what's he going to do? Is he going to get Olam Abba? Rashi says, Ploni Ma'al Olam Abba. Some say it's a reference to Shlomo. Shlomo Melech going to get Olam Abba. At the end of the day, the Navi says about Shlomo that he worshipped idols. Now, it doesn't mean that. The Gemara says it means that Shlomo didn't protest his non-Jewish wives worshipping idols. But anyway, they asked him, basically they asked him that question of that Gemara. Is Shlomo going to get Olam Abba? Is he not going to get Olam Abba? I'm Alehem. He said, no, Lo Shal Tuni Elo Ploni. You're probably asking me about somebody else. Who is that other person? Yeah, maybe you're asking me about Avshalom. Avshalom, he doesn't get Olam Abba. Then another question. Ma'ol Hatzil Roa. Are you allowed... Is the shepherd allowed to save the lamb from a lion? From the lion. He said to them, Lo shaltuni el ala kivsa. You're just asking me, aren't you asking me about the lamb? So they said, okay, so ma'al hatzil Roa min Ari, can we save the shepherd from the lion? Amalemi said to them, Lo shaltuni el ala roa. Weren't you asking me, are we allowed to save the shepherd? So, in other words, he didn't give them an answer. Now, what's this question? Can you save the sheep from the lion? And then he says, no, you're asking about the sheep. So, there are different explanations here. According to the Bach, the initial question was, are you allowed to save, or can we save the shepherd, can we save the sheep from the lion? And then he said, maybe you didn't ask me about the sheep, maybe you asked me about the shepherd. But they said, okay, can you save the shepherd from the lion? Then he said, maybe you didn't ask me about the shepherd, but maybe you asked me about the sheep. So what's going on here? So some Rishonim explain that, again, this is the Gemara in Ksubis. The Gemara says that the story of David and Bathsheba is not as bad as it seems. And the Navi, it sounds like Bathsheba was a married woman, a young lady married to Uriah. David was on his roof and he saw her, and he goes out and he calls her up to him and he has relations with her. And then he finds out that she has, and then he calls her husband back. Her husband was a warrior. He tells her husband, who was at war, Uriah, go be with your wife tonight. Uriah says, how can I do that? All of my friends are at war. I'm going to go be with my wife. It's not right. So Uriah refuses. And then David sends Uriah to his death to the front line. And then Nathan HaNavi comes to David and he rebukes him. He tells him a parable about a wealthy man who has lots of flocks. And he has a neighbor who's poor, only has one sheep. And he lives with that sheep and gets shelter from that sheep. Then guests come to the wealthy man. He doesn't want to use his own money. He goes steals that sheep from the neighbor. What should be done with that wealthy man? And David says, if that man would be in my kingdom, I would kill him. And Nathan HaNavi says, well, you are that wealthy man, and that sheep is Bathsheba, and the owner of the sheep is poor Uriah. So initially the question was, right, the first question was, can you save the sheep from the lion? In other words, is David, the lion, going after the sheep, going after Bathsheba? Is he considered a rodef, someone who's running to go do a prohibited act with a married woman? And you could kill the rodef to save the woman. In other words, is Bathsheba considered a married woman or not? So then he said back, you're asking me about the sheep. Maybe you're really asking me about the shepherd. In other words, don't think about the lion, David, who's going after Bathsheba. Think about Uriah, the shepherd of the sheep, the owner, the husband of Bathsheba. Maybe Uriah deserves death because he refused what David told him, and he referred to Yoav as his master in the presence of David. That's also Morita B'malchus. He's rebelling against the king. He deserves death. So they said, okay, that's a good question. What about saving Uriah? So then he said, no, maybe you weren't asking me about Uriah, about him being a Morita B'malchus. Maybe you're really asking me about the sheep, because maybe any soldier who goes to battle gives his wife a divorce. So she really wasn't married anymore. So there was no sin at all here. Anyway, he didn't give answers. He raises some of the points that are brought up in the Gemara and Ksuba. So another question. They said, Mamzer Mahulirish. Somebody is an illegitimate child. He was a Mamzer. Can he inherit his father's property? So then he said to them, did you ask me Mauliabim? What about a Mamzer doing Yibum on his brother's wife? Another question. Maulasur is Beso. Nowadays, can a person apply plaster on his home? Maybe we shouldn't be putting on plaster to mourn the loss of the Beis HaMikdash. So he said back to them, Ma'olasidus Kivra, what about marking graves nowadays? Should we be marking graves because we want to make sure Kohanim don't walk on it? Now all of these questions that he didn't give answers to, Lomi Pneshi Fligan Bidvarim, it's not like a person who doesn't know an answer, so he starts distracting things and raising new points and trying to change the topic of the conversation. But rather, he had a tradition. He wouldn't say over anything that he didn't hear from his rabbi. Similar story. A wise woman once asked Rabbi Elazar, everybody committed the sin of the golden calf. Why didn't they all die in the same way? Some people died in a plague. Some people died by sword. Some people died by God. So Rabbi Elazar said, the wisdom of a woman is in spinning wool and in weaving a garment. It's not for me to answer your Torah questions. Okay, no, the pasuk says, "V'chalisha chachmas lev yadat zavu." Every woman with wise of heart, she spun with her hands. Itmar. Now, in terms of this question, we actually have a tradition. Rav and Levi Chadam once said, "Zibeach v'kiter b'sayif." Those who offered offerings or ktores to the golden calf, they were killed by sword. Giveh v'nishik b'misa. Those who hugged and kissed it, they got death in the plague. And Samach Bulavavo, those were just happy in their heart about it. But Hidrokon, they were punished with a stomach ailment. The Chanamer once said, Edom Vasra, those who had, there were witnesses against them, who warned them, they were the ones killed, Besayef, killed by sword. Edom Velo Asra, they were witnesses, but they didn't have a warning. The Misa, they died in the plague. Lo Edom Velo Asra, there were no witnesses nor a warning. Then Hidrokon, they died in stomach ailments. Amr Yudhubita said, Shifto shel Levi lo avod avodas kochavim. The entire tribe of Levi didn't participate in the sin of the golden calf. They didn't worship idols. Shneimer, it says, Vayamon Moshe b'shar machaneh. Moshe stood in the gate of the camp. Vayomer, he said, Mi la'Hashem Eli, who's on God? Join me, and all the Bnei Levi, join him. Yes, Ravina v'kamal l'lashmait. Ravina was saying over this lesson of Rabbi Yehuda that the tribe of Levi did not participate in the sin of the golden calf. Eis v'bnei Rav Papa bar Abba l'Ravina. The children of Rav Papa bar Abba challenged Ravina. But the pasuk says is praise about the tribe of Levi. Omer l'aviv l'imo lo receive es l'chav lo yikir es panav lo yada. The tribe of Levi would say to his father and mother, I don't know you. To his children, I don't know you. They would just kill all those who were worshipping the golden calf, even they were relatives. So what do you mean? That means his father worshipped it. That means there was Levim worshipping the golden calves. I said, no, Aviv, father means, oh, welcome back, Danny, Ashrecha. Aviv is Avimo, the father of his mother, Yisrael, from Yisrael. Echav is brethren, or Echav Mi'imo Yisrael, brothers from a mother from Yisrael. Banav is B'nei Pito Yisrael, his children of his daughter from Yisrael. All right, talking about the Sar Mishtalech, V'kevesh Asulo, they made a ramp so that the Babylonians wouldn't be able to mob the goats. I'm Rabbi Barchana Lobav Liyamayu. It wasn't Babylonians. It was people from Alexandria of Egypt. It was Egyptians. But because the authors of the Mishnah were in Eretz Yisrael, they don't like the Babylonians. They used to call these Alexandrians Al-Shman with the name Babylonians because that was generally they didn't like the Babylonians. Said also, Lo Bavlimai, it wasn't Babylonians, Alexandrians, it was Alexandrians. Rabbi Yossi said to him, Tanuach Taitcha, Sheinachtas Dati. You know, you should feel better because you made me feel better. All right, Tolvit say, because he was from Babel. Tolvit say, they quickly leave. Tanuach Taitcha, Mash, they used to say like this, Mash Shait Sfira Dain Vachove Daraskian. Why is this goat waiting here? When the sins of the generation are many. So because he has all the sins of the generation, a lot of sins, we don't want him sitting around. He should go out. Okay, Bezrat Hashem, we'll continue with the Mishnah tomorrow.